It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Yeah, right.
Thoughts? Questions, comments, concerns?
Hey, Stemage is in the chat.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, so of course I have questions.
That makes no sense.
All right. So what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode number 191. I am your host, Joe. With me, as usual, is Mr. Chris Huber. How you doing, dickhead?
Hello.
I asked how you're doing. Yeah.
I'm doing well.
You can answer my question. Jesus.
I said I'm doing well.
He's busy.
It was slightly delayed, but I said hello first.
There shouldn't be a delay. You're in the next room.
Internet's a thing.
You have to listen.
I can't hear you through the walls.
You have to listen to me, not the Twitch stream.
Well, yeah, I have that muted.
40 seconds later. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, let me do that.
So, this is officially
I was speech-jamming myself, that's all.
This is officially the two-man show era once again.
Yeah.
So we called in some help, some backup this week. Good friend of ours. And we just so happened to stop using his theme song last week.
Last week?
I gotta come back and defend my song, apparently. Beardo's replacing me across the planet, apparently.
First Lonely Rolling Stars, now SML Podcast. So, Grant Henry, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm good. I can just pretend to be Pappy if it makes you guys feel more comfortable.
No, no.
You need something to throw darts at, right?
Is over.
Done. Yeah.
We are now on the upswing. The horror is over.
The proverbial, yeah.
191, man. I should have hung out like 9 more weeks and been on for the 200. 200 is a lot of freaking hours of podcasts, especially considering that your podcasts are about 2 to 3 hours.
They've been so long lately.
Yeah.
But most of those other weeks, they're long because we have so big interviews to do. We don't really have an interview this week. We just have you.
Which, you know, we're not going to interview you, so.
Yeah, you're just going to bullshit with it. Or he could just turn to static, I guess. Grant, is your shit broken again?
I think he's actually going through a window.
Hello?
Hello?
Man, I can't look at the stream. I can't look at a picture of this. This is obviously me. I can't look at a picture of myself and have Skype open at the same time. Apparently,
that's
preposterous.
You can interview me if you want. You can ask me questions about shit that I don't know about, and I can just guess answers.
Grant,
tell me about shit that you don't know about.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you how much I don't know about it.
Grant, how does it feel to know that you are no longer our theme song on the show?
It's time had come. You know, sometimes you just gotta like open that bottom drawer that has too much shit in it and just put more shit in it. You know?
Are you the shit? So,
yes. The song. Stash it away, man, in the archives. I just think it's hilarious because we just keep essentially doing covers of Kunal
covers
songs.
Yeah.
So you just keep it going. I think every 6 months you just pull a new weirdo in, and then you can kind of listen to the first song, listen to the last song, and play the telephone game.
Every year we're going to try doing this because we had Kunals for, God, a long-ass time, and then we brought you in from, like, I think episode 70-something until 2 weeks ago. And now it's the Beardo era.
Was it really 70s? Was it that long ago that you guys
started using it? Yeah, it was a long time because we were still using yours when we ended the first time around.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Wow.
And now it's all over. And on top of that, we have a new logo. I should show that off.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, you should.
Gotta open it up. My computer's slow. Look at that. Look at that. New logo. Courtesy of the always wonderful Randall fucking Drew.
Randall fucking Drew.
You have to realize that there's a slight delay on the stream, so there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm giving you time.
Yeah, there, yeah. Saying. I understand.
Are you ever going to write it out? Like the Smack My Loins podcast? You ever going to like actually write the whole thing? It's just too big. It doesn't fit in a square as easily.
Smack my loins. I don't think we've ever heard that one before.
That was a new one.
Well, that's what it's called, right? I mean, every episode
for
is
you,
like,
yes.
Good loin smack.
I wonder if we should kind of like have, I don't know why we didn't do this before, but we should just have a running joke that like every week
it's something different.
Yeah.
Man. We are a long time into the show to retcon that, but starting 200 we'll start.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, we've been getting a lot of like questions of what does the SML podcast mean, because let's be honest, we haven't touched on it like in quite some time.
Yeah.
So
you guys are like the IGN of podcasts. You know, it's like what is it even? I don't even think they know.
Well, everyone knows you can't spell ignorant without IGN. So.
Oh damn! Ooh. Sizzle. Where's the soundboard?
Everyone knew that. I thought everyone knew about that.
We need a soundboard. Shit! I'm gonna have to figure out a soundboard now.
Shit! Oh. Shit! Shit! Oh.
We at least need the horn.
Yeah,
it's so funny. I was okay. So I've been in Doom mode for truth be told, I haven't played Doom yet. We'll get to it later. But just to go with the sound things, like I forgot I had actually taken the sound effects. This is like 2 years ago. I took the sound effects out of Doom and tried to. They're clearly like sped up and slowed down. Regular samples that were slowed down to sound like demons. So I decided to take them into Reaper and try and figure out like what the original sample sounded like. And I put this, I thought about this today. I actually have it on Dropbox. I'm going to send it to you guys. And this probably won't be appropriate for a soundboard, but it's kind of funny to listen to. Maybe you could play it on the show. But it's basically all of the grunts from the game, the original game, but pitch shifted to be what they probably were when they were performed.
Doom sped up MP3.
Yeah, so like there's like one of the really big, I can't remember, is it Death Incarnate or something Incarnate, Evil Incarnate? The one that shoots, what's his name? I can't remember. Well, he shoots like, he's the one that actually shoots flaming skulls out of his mouth, and he makes this noise. And when you speed it up, it's the dude saying, quiet. And I'm like,
oh my god.
That's weird.
I'm pretty sure that sound file just played while you were talking.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't hear it.
Well, you'll hear it if you're listening to the Twitch stream.
Yeah. There you go.
That gives you a reason to listen to the show again, Chris.
Yeah, so I can speech jam myself. Yeah. God damn it.
What is the speech jamming you keep doing?
Okay, so have you never speech jammed yourself before? It doesn't work on me, actually. Like, as
I mean, maybe
much.
I have. I don't know what it
so,
is, though.
So basically what it is let's just say you have your DAW set up and you have a microphone set up and you have a delay of like, I don't know, maybe like 300 milliseconds or something like that, and make the delay the 100% and crank the headphones up and wear headphones so that you can't actually hear yourself talking. You hear the delay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to trip you up.
Oh.
So that you stutter a lot.
So you stutter a lot?
Yes. Yeah, so basically you're hearing the delay back of your voice, and it makes you go like that.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that's speech jamming. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
It's fun. I tried doing it before, and it just fucks with me.
That's right. Me with the beard. That's back when I had a beard.
Wow. Wow.
That's not what? Him, Chris.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I like how
it's
I searched.
Like you're a completely different person.
Yep. You look like that Smooth McGroove guy.
Who's that? I don't know. Who's that? Is that a jazz guy? Jazz musician?
He's the acapella musician. He does all these covers of game songs, but they're all
acapella.
I don't
know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's all nerd stuff.
That's not smooth. That's
I think I know who you're talking about.
Of course I know who you're talking about, but that's not him. That's me.
I just like how I searched for Stemmage and I got a picture of fucking Randall and his signed 3DS.
That needs to happen backwards. People need to search for Smooth McGroove and get me.
Yeah, they do.
But it doesn't work that way.
Life. What are you going to do? What are you going to
do? It just got really deep really fast.
I don't think
Grant, what have you been up to lately?
I've been, as I mentioned, I went to a pinball festival last weekend, which was cool. I've been doing a lot of music-y things, a lot of recording.
Anything
I've been
good?
Doing, yeah, I'm doing like, no, I'm doing
no
guitar work for, I'm actually I'm going to be doing the entire soundtrack for sort of a proof of concept, kind of adventure game demo thing this guy's putting together. So I'm working on that right now, which is
nice.
Cool. I got a couple full tracks that are coming out on some comps in the next probably like month, but I'll probably get in trouble if I say something.
I heard you say comps.
I hate when people do that. I don't want to do it too. I've got shit coming, but I can't talk about it.
Oh, this is good. I searched Stemmage and I got a fucking image of our podcast.
Yeah.
And I went to the page and it's theme songs, jingles, and soundtracks, and it's the SML podcast theme song.
There you go.
It's retired.
It's archived where it's supposed to be, right on
Indeed.
The website.
Indeed.
If anyone misses the old days of like
back in,
3 weeks ago.
Back in the day.
Back in January.
Oh, there it is.
Mega Beardo did a really good job. The new one.
He did. I really like the new one.
Yeah, I dig it. I'm a fan.
He's good people.
I'm very upset that, like, he moved up to Pittsburgh, which made it, like, a lot more reasonable of a trip to try and go out and see him. And then I started getting really, really busy, and now I'm moving down to Jersey, which is even further away. But it was closer to where he was before, I think.
Oh, my God, that picture. I didn't know you were moving to Jersey. When are you doing that?
Yeah. What's that?
When are you doing that?
Like a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's getting the fuck out of here. He is bouncing on out.
Going.
It's just at all the work with the band is pretty much like the majority of my shows are down in that area. So it'd be like, it's just so stupid for me to do all this extra traveling.
Sure.
Because I'm losing like... I'm losing so much time every single week. And now with the summer coming up, because now, like, the summer's the bulk of my shows. So it's like, it's kind of like, I have to think of it as I'm under a salary and I have to, like, work the entire summer and then all of my money comes in the summer and I have to make it last. So.
A long time. Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I'm going to be playing practically, like, almost every day. So doing all this extra traveling would just be unfathomable.
Yep.
So you're the fucking session guitarist for Steven Universe?
I am. Did you not? Were you
How
not
did
aware
I
of that
not
there,
know
Joe?
That?
No, that's my fiddle on that show.
God damn. I didn't know that. That's pretty crazy.
Still recording for them, so I've been doing that too.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, all the weird.
What the hell else are you doing? It's been so long since we've actually sat down and talked with you. What is going on in the world of Stemmage?
That's a great question, man. I've been doing a lot of like kind of for hire work and production work in addition to just my own fun things. So that's taken up a good bit of time. And I did make time to finish the Narrowband record, which thank you for playing so much of that on the show. That's very cool.
We played the entire thing across 2 weeks.
I know.
And I've joked around that you made it specifically for me since it released on my birthday.
Yep. That's the truth.
100% for me.
Yep. So yeah, that's very sweet of you.
Yeah, fantastic album, by the way.
Thanks, man. It was fun. Putting that together. So yeah, I'm kind of doing a little bit of, I'm doing for fun work, and I'm doing some for hire work too, but I'm doing a lot more music stuff than I was previously. It's just not all VGM and original, so it's not always, you know, getting thrown up on Bandcamp every, you know, all the time. And normally it's attached to other stuff. So, but yeah, it's been cool. Like, in the Steven Universe stuff has been a lot of fun. It's kind of weird. Like, anytime Greg is playing the guitar, it's me. And it's
That's
been
cool as fuck.
It's been straight. It's been really weird because, you know, sometimes you don't always have the animation to use as a reference for any kind of accuracy. Cause I really, you don't have to make songs match with animation, but I think it's cool when it does. But you don't always have access to that kind of stuff because it all gets produced at the same time. So you just kind of do what you can. But yeah, that's been a super fun gig.
How did you land that gig? Where did that come from?
The music is arranged by Ivy and Sarashu, who are just a duo that do lots of different music. Ivy's working on a new RPG soundtrack called Cryomore. Sarashu's been like doing production and ship stuff forever, but they're a hubby and wife duo, and I don't know how they landed it, but they didn't have a guitar player, and I knew them and got pulled into it that way. So anytime there's any, and because a lot of the music in the show is electronic, but whenever there's a guitar to be done, they pull me in. And it's cool because the music is kind of a priority in that show. You know, every episode has a song that is titled based on the episode title. And they're like, don't worry if it doesn't match the animation. The music is first. The music being important is kind of their mission statement, which is cool. You know,
nice.
I'm glad that's the case, especially for a kid show.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's pretty good. It's a good show.
I've seen clips of it, but I've never really sat down and watched a full episode, but I might have to change that.
It's solid, man. It's got like heavy themes, and really good messages, and it's like it's totally watchable by adults and enjoyable by adults, but it's also for kids too, so it's cool. It's a
nice
cool show.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So that, and then like there's collab stuff and random songs and things, and that's basically it. I put a new website up to try and get rid of my circa 2001 WordPress design.
Dude, I want to do that so bad.
Yeah, it was. I ended up doing the Squarespace thing, and it was pretty easy.
Really?
Yeah. Instead of trying to deal with like my host and everything else, which I have a shitty host.
I'm gonna check this out because, like, you know, I've heard a couple of people talk about Squarespace, and they advertise a lot, especially within like podcasts and like all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I never actually looked into them before. So, what is your website? People, if they want to check it out,
it is stemagemusic.com.
Nice, good stuff.
Happyrules.com.
Happyrules.com.
XXX.
You could have gone with something like vert.rocks.
I could have.
You should have just gone with stemage.rocks.
I haven't explored all of the what do you call them, like the suffixes.
Stemage.balls.
I think there's a .ninja now. I think. So.
Oh my god.
SML.ninja?
That'd be amazing. Yeah. SML.podcast.
Maybe there is a podcast.
Possible. Absolutely possible.
Squishy Man Liquid podcast.
Ugh.
Is that... Wow.
Wow.
I'm trying to decide if I think I like Spec My Loins better.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably.
I think officially we're always going to stay the Someone Might Listen podcast.
Sure.
Does that won a contest? Has to.
Yeah. We did pretty much promise that that's the name of the podcast. So.
That's how we do. Exactly how we do.
Yep. Because we have integrity.
Integrity.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, don't. They really do. I promise. Yeah.
So anyway, you wanted to talk about VR, correct?
Oh yeah. I wanted to mention I got a Gear VR and tell you guys about it if you gave a shit.
Figure we should get on the subject of an actual show, kind of.
Yeah.
It's good catching up. Yeah. It's just one of those, you know, like for a while it was all VR all the time for, I don't know, a year and a half and got old.
Yeah.
Now it's out. And then, you know, I guess games will just trickle, but people aren't as loud about it right now. So I feel like I'm okay hearing new news. Like I want to hear how it evolves now that it's finally kind of out.
And well, see, I guess some people VR is out of my price range, so I can't really talk about it. So the fact that you have one, you can talk about it. Sounds like good content.
Well, I will say that I can't afford the good ones, and I don't have a PC that could run it even if I could, right? But the Gear, do you know what the Gear VR is?
No.
You familiar with that thing?
Okay. Like, as far as hard, it's a Samsung hardware that they made that's essentially almost like an Oculus, but not as good, question mark?
Basically. So, it, you know, obviously it's running using a phone's processor and GPU, so it's not going to be like, you know, some monster PC, but it is basically a shell that you buy from Samsung that will hold any Samsung phone released in the last year and a half or so. That's a version of it, yeah. But you snap your phone in there. It's kind of like because they've been selling like these Google Cardboard.
I was gonna say I got a free Google Cardboard from Frito-Lay that they were giving away. All you had to do was just like
amazing.
Like it was literally you just put your email address in and they're just like, all right, we'll ship you one. And then they just sent me one. I didn't pay anything. Like. So that's why everybody's like, oh, I think I might like go and like order myself like a Google Cardboard from Amazon. Just like, dude, like you're just not looking hard enough because you
they're
can
just
get one for free.
They're free everywhere. Like, Verizon were giving away for a while, I think, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
But even with those, I mean, like I've used even a Google Cardboard that I was pretty impressed with. And even the one that I have, I feel like the lenses are probably the worst part about it. So I could just replace the lenses because they're like a little scratched up and kind of like hazy.
Yeah. Right.
But I feel like if you were to replace the lenses on that, like it's pretty fucking solid. I mean, the only problem that I was having also is that my phone is a little too big because I have the Nexus 6.
Right.
So it's a little bit too big for it. It still works, but I guess the way that it lines up with the lenses isn't quite on par. So it kind of like they overlap each other in a weird way, and you kind of get this weird effect with it. But it still looks cool.
Yeah, it works. Does yours have like a strap on it, or is it just one of those ViewMaster?
It's kind of like a view. It's like a ViewBox Turner one, but you could just fucking get like rubber bands or just something. Like you could figure it out. I mean,
sure.
There's a way to do it. You know, I just haven't been like so into it and using it just because I guess like, you know, because it doesn't line up properly for mine. I wasn't as excited about it.
Sure. Sure. And it works, you know, like it functions and I've kind of kept up on little apps and there are some things you can. That's the one. Yeah. Man.
The ViewMaster.
Dude, that's all you need. That one of those off eBay and some rubber bands and you are in. You are immersed. Baby.
Dude, ViewMasters were the shit when I was a kid.
They were.
I'm not even going to fuck around.
They were
around.
Fucking awesome.
ViewMasters were amazing.
Yep.
I loved them.
Yep. I'm sure. I think we probably still have one in a box somewhere. With those nasty discs. Look at those things, man.
Yeah, they're so...
getting all
there's
old.
Like coffee stains all over them. And just like...
But they had like giraffes. There was like Disney ones.
That's what I remember was animals. I'm like, it's a giraffe. I'm like, yeah. I think there were
those are elephants in 3D.
I had a lot of space ones.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the space ones were like the best ones.
I don't think I've ever seen a space.
Ugh. Yeah. There was only like one or two of them. But they were the best. They were so cool. It was just like planets.
It was cool. Sounds awesome.
I think they actually remade the ViewMaster, and it's now like a digital thing, like a little Google Cardboard light or something.
Man, fuck that.
I know.
It's not a ViewMaster if you don't have shitty cardboard discs to slide in.
You don't have those weird notches that have to line up right, otherwise you get parts of different picture. And
you get like, you get like half a car and then half a canyon.
Yep.
And then you like try and like physically like spin the disc while it's in it to shift it so that it's lining up properly and it's not.
Kids today will never know the pain we had to go through with toys as a kid.
No, I'm going to buy all the shitty ones I played with and then force my children one day to play
like this. You have understand. You have to go through the same kinds of transitions that we did.
It's like, oh, yeah. You want an Oculus? Oh, man, here, hold. Yeah, use this for 15 years first.
Yep.
Little jackass. Yeah. That's how parenting works.
The little thing with the handle that you pull, it's like that cow goes.
Yeah, and then you put your hand on the arrow and you like, you know,
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Looking DJ kitties.
That's right. So the Gear VR is kind of like, it's basically a cardboard, except it was developed by Oculus, so they have their name on it and it uses their storefront. But it's just this, it's like they took all of they standardized the hardware and the software that runs it, and basically you just take your phone and snap it in the little USB part of the front of the headset, and then snap it in the other side, and it fits, and it has its own buttons built in on the side, and it works with a gamepad, and you strap it on like you strap an Oculus on, and it works.
Oh, it works with a gamepad.
Yeah, you can like Bluetooth your own gamepad to the phone, and it works. It like works really well. The resolution's kind of low, and you're not able to play super high def games just because it's, you know, running on a phone, but it works really, really well.
Damn. One day I'll get there.
$50.
I want to try and see if I can go into a store and see if I could just try it out for myself. Because it's one of the, I feel like everybody's expectations for VR are completely different. Because for myself, like for me to enjoy VR, I feel like I just want it to, I want it to track well, and I want to have. I guess I want to have enough of a viewing area so that I feel immersed enough. You know what I mean? And I don't think the resolution necessarily has to be so high that, you know, everything's going to look like amazingly crisp and whatnot. But you know what I mean? Like, I just want it to have enough coverage where I feel immersed enough to want to warrant the purchase.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think that there's still, I tried a PlayStation VR. At GDC.
Oh, did you?
And to be honest, I don't think there was that much difference between that and this Gear thing. You could still, everything is a little blurry. And when you move your head around, I think they put some sort of motion blur in there to try and smooth the edges out. And it was fine. I played this Thumper game on it, and it was cool. But this thing is really great. Let me tell you, the best thing that I've played, I bought some things from the store, and then I discovered this app called Sideload VR, where you can sideload VR games to the Gear VR that aren't in the store. And let me tell you, man, Quake, the original Quake in VR, is the shit. It is.
Wait, what, so you're essentially just, you're just kind of pulling from a different. How did you set that up? Like, yeah, is it really a pain in the ass, or
no? You download this app called Siloed VR. You create an account, which generates like a developer ID for Oculus, which allows you to play games using other software, not just like the Oculus launcher thing on your phone. And so these guys modded Quake for VR, and you just dump the files and get the WAD. I guess I don't know if they're WAD files like they are with Doom, but you get the files on your phone if you own Quake, and you play Quake in VR, and it's freaking incredible. Like, you sit in, it's you know, Quake is super fast, so the way that I found is best is you sit in the swivel chair and pretend like you're playing a first person shooter, but you don't use the right stick. Instead, you just spin the chair around and look around. Left stick moves the chair, and then you're just sort of turning your head around, and then if you want to turn around, you just spin around in the chair.
That's crazy.
And it's unbelievable. If you look up at a platform and a dude to put the reticle on him, you know, you don't have to worry about your right stick aiming and stuff. It's. I'm like, this is the best app on this system, and it's this old ass game with some texture packs. You know, I'm like, man, I don't know. They did it right, and it's just a bunch of young guys that poured it.
See, and you know what? And it's concepts like that where I feel like, you know, even something like a Unreal Tournament or something like that. You play something like that in a swivel chair with a gamepad. I feel like that would be fun as shit. Like, yeah. I think that would warrant a purchase for me if I felt immersed enough. Like, you know, you're saying that it's good enough. Like, yeah.
I mean,
I'd have to try it.
Certain apps that I get the whole, they always talk about immersion. I get it. Every once in a while, you'll be in front of something and you will be there. Like, you feel like you could reach out and touch something. Right. Most of the time, it's not like that. But I have to this button in Quake. It's got the buttons on the walls have the great big Quake logo on it. I just ran straight into it and looked at it, and I swear it was right there in front of me. It was insane. But there's like a under the ocean game where you're in like a, it's not really a game, but you're in one of those cages where the great whites are, you know.
See, and that's the thing. I like the exploratory kind of stuff that they're doing with VR, because it's like, you know, you can go to these places and have these experiences that obviously you're not going to have the opportunity to do otherwise. Yep. So I don't mind them putting out content that's not necessarily a game. Like, I remember actually the first time I fired up the Google Cardboard thing, they give you this thing where it's a tour through a art gallery or something like that. And even just being able to go through that, I'm just like, okay, so I can see the practical applications for it even outside of gaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you could, and there was another thing that I saw. There was it was like a VR graffiti wall thing. So essentially, you're using like a PlayStation Move-esque like controller thing. It looked like one of those kind of things, and you have a VR headset on, and you're walking up to like a brick wall in the middle of an alley, and it's essentially it's an entire paint set. So you can go through and do like all like essentially graffiti tagging, but the quality of the stuff that like I was seeing screenshots of, I was just like, holy shit! Like there's some really impressive stuff that's already out there. It's just a matter of like I don't quite understand the differences in experiences per different devices. Like what you're saying with the Gear VR, like you obviously have to use a cell phone.
Yes.
And that's what like how much are those normally, like $500, $600 or something like
that? I mean, yeah, unless you do like a contract or something. Like I just my Turbo died, so I got an S7 because that's kind of the new phone. And then I was like, oh, I got a Samsung. I can get a Gear VR now, and started reading up. And then I found one for $50, and I'm done, right? But you have to have a Samsung phone for that particular piece of hardware. And most of the tech is in your phone, obviously.
Right. But then, so how much is an Oculus? Like 8, 9?
Like a 6, maybe? 6, 599, 699, something like that?
Something like that.
Sorry,
what are the difference like how much of a difference do you think in hardware is it going to be on an Oculus comparative to a cell phone that's running all this stuff?
Well, a cell phone is the computer, and an Oculus is just kind of a window into what your rig is running.
Yeah.
So you can run crazy shit high resolution. I mean, as high as the screens will, put out. But like, you can get way more realistic environments and stuff with the Oculus or the Vive or whatever. With the Gear, most of the stuff I've seen have been, you know, simple polygonal environments or maybe some pretty good skyboxing, but everything's kind of simple. You just can't do too much on a cell phone, you know. Even a new cell phone just can't pump out really impressive stuff. And then you're blowing the screens up to the size of your entire eyeball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but it works. It works really well. I mean, it's a little grainy, but hey, it was $50. So, and I feel like I was reading articles to get people saying, don't buy an Oculus, don't buy a Vive, buy this thing if you have a phone that supports it. Just because right now it's just a whole bunch of gimmicks. You know, there isn't really like the VR stuff. I don't think there's a killer app out there yet that people are spending over 10 hours in. I don't think. Maybe there's something and I haven't kept up, but.
Now, Job Simulator is the only thing I really hear about.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Which looks hilarious.
I think I would rather wait until either there's more games that are worth it or there's something console-based that I think will be worth it. Like, I know when Danimal was on, he was talking about how excited he is that he's getting the PlayStation VR. But again, that is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It's just something I can't afford doing that. Like, if our show was big enough that Sony would be like, hey, do you want to review the Sony VR? I'd be like, fuck yeah, I do. You want to be our best friend? I will put the SML podcast sponsored by Sony if you want to treat me like sugar daddy. Until then, I can't afford that kind of, like, and then even on the PC, the requirements, my PC is nowhere near anywhere even remotely close to almost being able to run VR.
Yeah, neither's mine.
I downloaded the Rift compatibility tool and it checked everything. It's like, well, you have Windows 10. that's about it. Everything else, yeah, you're fucked. You can't do this.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think I would consider, it all depends. Because, I mean, like, you know, there's not a lot of games coming out that I'm really too excited for. So instead of spending the money into new games, I could save it up and then get something like that and see if it would be worth it. But I don't know, man.
You gotta have something to play on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that you could just grab. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of testing freeware stuff that I would get more than my entertainment's worth out of.
Yeah. Sure. Yep. I just figure, I don't know, you know, it's worth trying, and I think they're trying to figure out a way to get it in store so people can actually try it. And, you know, if you don't live near someone that has one, or, you know, people don't feel like splitting. Yeah, you want to split an Oculus? I actually think it's a pretty decent idea. Because once you get past the honeymoon period, it's just going to sit on your desk until the next game comes out anyway.
And then you're going to try that, and then everybody's going to get together and want to try it.
Yeah.
It's been fun to actually play around with this a little bit, and with something that works for not a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Hey, why has the call been dropping out for me so much? Like, Chris, are you doing anything big on your end on the computer?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I hope Ashley's not streaming. That'd be hilarious. Probably. Yeah, like, every now and then it just... And then, gonna talk... are you streaming? That's my luck, is that she's streaming, so...
I would presume.
Good time.
So I think VR for now is a pass for me.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah, just, same with me.
Until they start really releasing some heavy shit where I'm like, all right, this is something that I need.
Yeah, I'd love to play something like No Man's Sky in VR, but that's not gonna happen. I mean, maybe it'll come out, but I'm not going to play. I'm not going to buy one of these expensive headsets just to, I mean, man, that's a lot of money.
Well, didn't they talk about that they were working on a PlayStation VR version of the game?
I don't know. Maybe.
Thought they were.
And then if I'm going to go buy like a 970 or 980, that's as much as a PS4. Might as well just buy a PS4.
True.
You know?
Or you could buy an Xbox and play with us. Something.
You know what? I have one right now. It's not mine, but it's in my house. Funny story.
And we're not playing?
No, we're not. What's the deal, man?
Yeah, what is the deal?
Doom? Can we play some Doom or something? Can we play? Is the multiplayer that bad?
I do not own a copy of Doom.
Okay. We need to figure out what to play. So I borrowed a buddy of mine was not using his, and I'm like, can I borrow it? And he said yes. And so I have it. So I have, and he hasn't asked for it back yet. And I don't know what game would cause him to ask for it back, but he hasn't asked yet. So I'm going to acquire a copy of Doom in some way and play it because I'm a Doom freak. But I don't know. We should play something. I don't own a lot. I mean, I went through Just Cause 3 to completion 100%. And then I've played some of the, I enabled a trial for
Rocket League.
Oh yeah, Rocket League. Well, I have it on
PC
already. I have it on PC already. How much is it on Xbox? Like $20?
Yep.
Probably. I bought it twice.
No, did you? Oh, such a good game.
Where did you buy it twice?
I had it on PC first.
Okay, and what's the second time you bought it?
Oh, wait, no, you gave me the code for the second one, didn't you?
Yeah, you reviewed it for our show, you dork.
Yeah.
I bought it on Xbox actually, One.
I bought it for somebody. Oh, I bought it for Piccolotti.
Boner. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but I still bought the game twice.
Okay.
Technically. And I'll probably buy it again for somebody.
Yeah,
I love Rocket League.
Rocket League's amazing.
Rocket League.
I played it to death, 100 hours worth on PC like last year.
Have you done the basketball?
No, I have not. I haven't done the basketball, and I haven't
very
done
difficult.
The new kind of weird levels they put out, right? They put out those weird kind of proof of concept levels or old levels they redid or something after Wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
Those look weird.
Yeah, those were really weird. I didn't like them very much.
Mm. Now, basketball looks rough.
It's rough.
I finally got to the point where I would get the occasional aerial, sort of, at least, like, connect with the ball, and then kind of stop playing. So I need to... Hey, it's like riding a bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever gotten a legit aerial.
I haven't really either, but I'm still relatively good enough to the point where I played maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, and I did singles ranked matches and I didn't lose any.
Well, that's good. Singles rough. Singles super rough. But yeah, I've been playing. I got Tomb Raider. Didn't play much of it. The lady was going to play it and did some, but what else did I even? When I bought Batman, I didn't like it.
Really?
Arkham Knight?
Didn't like it. Yeah, Arkham Knight. I bought it like I've been buying games used on eBay. I got it for like $35, so I don't feel that bad. But yeah, I didn't enjoy it. I played about 5 hours of it and was like, you know what? This game is too complicated, too shiny. The writing is dog shit. And I'm just not enjoying the car stuff very much. And I'm a car guy, you know?
Yeah, I heard that the Batmobile stuff was just overwhelming in that game. There's just too much.
Yeah, I loved Arkham City. But this was... didn't do it for me. Did it for a lot of people. But, yeah. So that's about all I played on Xbox One, I think. I played, like, some demos. I got a Rare Replay. What else? What should I get?
I have Rare Replay, and I still haven't played anything on it.
Play some RC Pro-Am. Hell yeah.
I am a boner. I'm very much a boner.
What are we going to play,
Joe? Did you get Sunset Overdrive when it was free?
I did.
Yes.
I did. I enabled the Gold Live trial just to get Sunset Overdrive and I think it was also The Wolf Among Us. Yes. Was the other game, which I had no idea what that game was about, and it blew me away because I had no idea I didn't know the concept.
Yeah,
that was pretty great. But I didn't beat Sunset before the trial ended. But really good game, really pretty game.
Well, so you can't. You should still own it.
Only on 360.
Yeah, on the Xbox One, you lose the games with gold when your subscription's up.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, it's been like that for 2.5 years now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep a gold subscription.
It kind of sucks, actually.
It does really suck.
Yeah, you could get a year for $40.
Yeah, that's not bad.
There's actually a good reason to be a gold member next month. We could segue into some news, I guess, here.
Sure.
Totally.
The word right now is that apparently, from June 12th to June 22nd, the EA Access service is going to be free for all Xbox Gold members.
Really?
So for 10 days, you're dying again on us, Grant.
Hello?
What the hell is that?
weird.
He was going through a snowstorm.
Zerp. Sorry, I'm back. I had to go to the grid for a second. Is that the one where you just have access to like their select old catalog?
It's not necessarily an old catalog. It's as of right now, there are 20 games available in the vault, and it's $30 for a year. So $30 for a year gives you access to all 20 of those games, with a 21st game coming out in like another week or two. Plus you get early trials of all new EA games, and that they're like 10-hour trials of the games. Plus you get 10% off all EA purchases.
Wow.
So for $30 for a year, it is a ridiculously good deal. So far, right now, the vault includes Battlefield 4, Madden 25, FIFA 14, Peggle 2, Need for Speed Rivals, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, UFC, NBA Live 15, Madden 15, NHL 15, FIFA 15, Titanfall, Dragon Age Inquisition, Battlefield Hardline, Madden 16, Plants vs. Zombies, NHL 16, Dead Space, FIFA 16, Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, and then on the 25th, they're going to have NBA Live 16.
That's a lot of games.
For $30 a year. Or from June 12th to the 22nd, all of them free.
Yeah,
so if you have gold.
Yeah, if you're an Xbox Live Gold member, which really, if you have an Xbox One, really should have gold. And if you want to play games with us.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You got to have Live to play.
You want to play with us
online.
You're going to need it. That'll learn you. That'll
Could have finished Sunset Overdrive.
When your friend wants it back, just get your own and be like, all right, it's time to do this.
Right.
You can get them so cheap now already.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They've been down to, I think, $249 already. Bail.
Wow.
And you could get refurbished ones even cheaper. And then with E3 coming up.
You can get used ones even cheaper.
Like refurbished ones, used ones.
You just got to know where to look. That's all.
Yeah. Plus, with E3 coming up, you never know what the hell's going to happen.
Yes, I'm interested in that event. I'm curious to see what they whip out.
Whip it out.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what EA has up their sleeves, because they're not even doing anything at E3. They're doing their own thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be like across the street or something retarded like that. Google it.
They're going to be in the basement.
Because, like, Nintendo... Sorry.
What are you Paul? Sorry about? Hello?
Oh, the Nintendo, like, dropped out several years ago, and people were like, but now everyone's dropping out. I guess there's a lot of them are still doing their own kind of press conference-y things, but...
Well, now, here's the interesting thing about Nintendo. Nintendo's not even planning a big Nintendo Direct for E3.
They're pretty much just doing Zelda. Like a live stream of Zelda.
Yeah. But, you know, I want to see it, and I want to know what it is, but I also don't want to watch hours of it. I want to play it.
True.
You know? But I'm very excited, probably more than any of the other news, to
Not to mention the fact that, like, they pretty much already confirmed that the Nintendo NX isn't coming out until 2017.
I think they said March. They're looking at something like that.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, probably.
I love doing two things about Nintendo. Let's say three. Well, let's say two. Bitching about it. I love bitching about Nintendo, and I love buying all their shit. Those are the two things I love.
Is the third one playing all their shit?
Yeah, but like recently.
No, the third is staring at it on your shelf and not playing it.
Yeah, I actually own. I did that once this generation. I did buy a game and never play it for Nintendo. It was the Bayonetta 2. I got for cheap.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Bayonetta is like a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's apparent. People loved it. People loved that game. The second one. I played a little bit of the first one, maybe a demo or something, but yeah, my 3DS is not with me. I think I let Viking Guitar borrow it so he could play Zelda. Newest one. I'm like, you need to play this.
I love my 3DS.
Did you guys see the Humble Bundle for Nintendo that came out last month?
Oh God, yeah. I think we talked about it on the show because I ended up picking it up.
Crap! Holy shit! There's so many games. Of course, I did it.
God, why wouldn't you? Really? Why wouldn't you?
I know.
So a question about you having the Xbox One: does yours have a Kinect with it?
It does.
So you understand the glory and the wonder of the Kinect.
I mean, the inside of the red bag and the closet understands.
Oh
the
my
glory.
God! You don't even know what you're missing out on.
Here's
the thing: like, I went looking for best Kinect games on the Xbox One and found some fitness shit and some like other stuff. I guess the audio is kind of cool, right? The turn on, turn off stuff. But
the voice commands. I actually wrote down on my notes that I wanted to talk about the Kinect this week because I occasionally like to stream stuff on the Xbox, and I have been trying to stream games lately, but for some reason the audio is all garbled on the stream and I couldn't find out why. I did some searching and there were people saying that apparently there's some kind of an issue with Twitch and the Kinect where if you're like, I don't know if it's that the Kinect isn't being used or like you don't have the camera enabled. I don't know what the issue is, but they said turn off the Kinect and try streaming it and it'll be fine. So I tried streaming Rock Band with, before I looked this up and it was all garbled. So I turned off the Kinect, went back to Rock Band, started the stream again, and everything worked perfectly. It took me about a minute into playing before I shouted Xbox volume down. And nothing happened. When I was done, I said, Xbox, go to settings, and nothing happened. And I kept forgetting that all these commands that I just use off the cuff, it's just a part of my day-to-day being anymore. All these voice commands, they were gone because I disabled the Kinect so that I could stream. And it was painful. Like when I would...
Yeah, you don't know what you got. Till it's gone.
Like even something as simple as starting the stream and then saying Xbox Switch, that you would jump from the one window that was snapped over to the game window, that was gone. I couldn't just say Switch. I couldn't say Xbox Unsnap. I couldn't do any of it. And trying to do all that shit with a freaking guitar controller is near impossible.
Oh yeah, that's that's not gonna be fun.
It just I never really truly realized how much I used the Kinect until it was gone. And I've always joked around that I couldn't imagine, if my Kinect broke, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I couldn't imagine having an Xbox One without Kinect. I cannot imagine having that system and using that system regularly without the Kinect.
Well, and I will say that if you have a Kinect, you're probably more likely to regularly use the system, whereas you could have someone like me where I barely turn the goddamn thing on.
So. Yeah, having cable and running the cable into the system and having a Kinect so that everything can just be done on one console, like, people are like, why don't you play the PS4 more? Because I don't have to turn it on. Like, if I want to play a game, I'll just say, Xbox, go to whatever game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to put another system on. I don't have to turn my 360 on. I don't have to turn the Wii U on. I could just switch from TV to a game and then right back. Or you snap and have them both going at the same time. Fucking baller.
That's actually kind of a neat idea. I could save an HDMI plug that way. I never thought about that. Because I'm one short at the moment.
There you go, man. There you go.
So do you use it for any of the camera stuff at all?
Occasionally.
Do you use it for any of the camera stuff? Like any of the... You
Like
the quality of the
I've
camera is not bad.
I've used it to stream a couple of times. Like, I'll have the camera, the video running. There are a handful of really good games. There's one company, Virtual Air Guitar Company. They put out games like Beat Splosion, Boomball for Kinect. They put out really good, solid Kinect games, and those are worth checking out. Spotlight's a good one, clearly because it's Harmonix. I mean, there are some good Kinect games out there, but granted, there's not many because they kind of gave up on the Kinect really quickly. But just as a utility instead of a game controller, indispensable for me.
That's cool. It doesn't take power, right? Like, it uses power from the box.
You just plug it right in.
Yeah, there's no reason to not plug that in. You're right.
It has its own special port and everything. Plug it in, run the setup, calibrate it, and it is Jesus in a box.
Jesus in a box. Yeah. Got it. Noted. Jesus
it is magical.
In a box. Okay.
Because oddly enough, I'm going to tell you right now, my new entertainment setup, because I don't have another TV to run it to, I'm actually running it up to my monitor, and I only have one HDMI port. I'm going to use the HDMI in because I don't run cable for my PlayStation 3. So my PlayStation 3 is going to go to the cable in, like the HDMI in on my Xbox, and then that's going to go up to my computer monitor.
Nice.
Pretty sure.
I know sometimes
no
you
lag
can have
or anything? No issues with the signal.
You can have input lag if you're using a game console through it, but it depends on what you're playing.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't recommend with a PS3. Like, I wouldn't recommend playing Rock Band that way because of the lag.
Sure,
no.
But most games you should be fine. A lot of people I know, they run their 360 through the Xbox One. They run the PS3 through it. From what I hear, you cannot run a PS4 through it. There's just something with the signal that it doesn't allow it for some reason.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's still true, but I've never tried it myself.
Well, I will plug that up tonight.
Do it up.
You should.
If it's just sitting there.
It is. It's just sitting here. I just never put it in because I wasn't thinking about the audio. I was just thinking about games. Like,
hook it up and fuck around with it.
Yeah, yeah, I need to.
And I'll hook you up with a list of some of the worthwhile Kinect games if you want to check them out.
Yeah, I wrote this Virtual Air Guitar Company and bookmarked their site, so I was going to check that out. But yeah, if there's anything cool, even if it's just... I really liked what Double Fine did with the first Kinect and their kind of weird suite of strange games. Just shit like that. Just strange camera-based things. Because I know the Kinect's pretty smart. Like, it detects really, really well. Way better than the old one. So,
and the new one is really solid.
Cool.
Not a lot.
No, the new one is very solid.
Cool.
Some other fun news to talk about, which the internet lost its collective shit over, is that Call of Duty Black Ops is now compatible on the Xbox One.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
So. Oh, so that means you're talking about the 360 game can be played on the Xbox One, backwards compatibility. Got it.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Infinite news. I don't understand. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, the internet lost its mind today because Microsoft finally announced that Black Ops One works on the Xbox One, and Reddit has been insane and incredibly hard to deal with all day. Because it's just people, hey, is Black Ops ready? My Black Ops won't start. My Black Ops won't download. My Black Ops isn't showing up. Will my cracked disc work? If I bought it off of a friend's account, can I still download it? When's Black Ops 2 coming? Just go fuck yourself. How about that? And now that Black Ops is done, everyone's like, what about Bioshock? What about Skate? What about Red Dead Revolver? What about this? What about...
Listen, Skate is the only one that I'm fucking interested in.
The only one
I'm interested in.
I had to cover that news.
Yeah, that's
Skate
interesting.
Is the
Skate's the shit, by the way.
Indeed, yes. Skate 3 is the...
Yep. How often are they releasing the backwards compatibility updates? Like, how often are they putting a new game up?
This is the first one this week, but there's been a handful every week.
It's almost like every couple days now. Like,
yeah, like they've been doing a solid job putting them out.
I'm ready for Burnout Paradise would be nice.
Ooh, oh God, yeah. I'd love. They said it's apparently going to happen. It's just when. That's always the big thing is the when.
Yeah, and I remember the Red Dead Redemption thing. There was like that accidental developer version leak or something. I've never actually played that game, and I feel like I should because I hear a lot of people that like that game a lot, and some people say it's the best. Some people say it's the best Rockstar game. So I don't know. I might have to give it a shot. I've never been a big GTA guy. Red Dead Redemption.
I tried it.
I love it. It is so fucking good.
I can see where the appeal is. It was just very slow for me.
Mm. That's because you a bitch.
Eh.
There's no Uzis in it.
He a bitch.
Eh. Eh.
He a bitch. So, do you guys want to talk about game reviews, or do you guys want to do a giveaway?
Sir, Grant, I will leave it up to you.
Let's do both.
But which one first?
Oh my God. Let's give something away.
All right. Sounds good. So we have two copies of Gunworld 2, courtesy of Joe of MO7 Games, who was on our show last week and talking with us on the first episode of the Mega Beardo era. And we put out a call online asking you people to email us and tell us why you want Gunworld 2. And we have a shitload of entries. Like, there are, I think, 8, 9, something like that.
What?
Yeah, and we only have 2 codes, so this is going to be a tough one.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
So, all right, let's start off with Jake Benlier. He says, "Hi, guys, it's Jake here again. Not sure if you remember me, but you supplied me a code for Gear Gauntlet, which I really did appreciate. I sent you a tweet once. I did finally complete the game a few days after receiving the code." And he did send a picture to the podcast of 1,000 out of 1,000 on Gear Gauntlet.
He's 1,000 scored. What?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. He won a copy because he said he was going to get 1,000 on it, and he backed it up. Anyway, noticed you have a competition for the upcoming Gunworld 2, and since the game is a platformer, I decided to try my luck at obtaining a code. After finishing Gear Gauntlet, I moved on to Jump Jet Rex and completed that. Dude, did you seriously get 1,000 on Jump Jet? I need a screenshot of that.
I want to see that, yeah.
Jake, if you're listening, I need a screenshot of that. So now it's only natural that the next indie platformer game I play to be Gunworld 2, since it just came out. Although, like my last entry, I will reiterate I do have a passion for indie games, namely platformers. I did reach out to MO7 Games a few weeks ago for a code, but unfortunately couldn't obtain one due to not being a reviewer. Maybe this time I'll get a bit lucky and get to experience another challenging platformer. Thanks in advance, Jake. So he's sadistic. That's how we keep track of our entries.
Yeah, I like it.
Email is from Cole, our friend Eternal Rage, who says, "Hi guys, I really enjoyed your interview with the developer for Gunworld 2 last week. Love to win a copy of the game because I had to have a biopsy on Friday and the stitches failed to hold. I've got what can only be described as a ravine of gore on my arm, and playing Gunworld 2 would make me feel better. In all seriousness, the game looks like it's a lot of fun, and I love the retro style that hails back to the games I played as a kid. Nostalgia is one hell of a drug. Thanks for the giveaway, and good luck with the show." Ravine of gore. Is that going to be the name of your next band, Grant?
We're talking about mine? Doom now? We're talking about Doom now? Is that? Oh, no? Okay. Yeah, next. ROG, man. ROG.
In a gore.
I'll be your harmonica player. Run that shit.
we'll do, like, Pride and Glory style.
Okay. I was going to just run it through a distortion pedal, and you could just play drums, but that's fine.
I want to hear this now. The two of you, your goal.
So, all right, hold on. So, Grant, I'll bring this up now. I'm going to be working on a YouTube channel, and I'm going to be doing a lot of dumb stuff. So I'm going to be, you may be getting some emails here and there where it's like, hey, I'm doing this dumb thing. Do you want to be a part of a dumb thing? So like I'm going to do videos of like best things to fill a bass drum with, like guacamole or cats or okay. Like just, I am dead set. I'm making a very dumb YouTube channel, but music related. So this would be a prime example of something that I may do on this channel. So
oh
don't
my Lord.
Like I have a list of potential videos that I may make, and this is now going on the list. So
fun info. Cole is in the chat right now and says, if someone doesn't use it as a band name, I'll be depressed. So the challenge is there. Grant, Chris,
Harmonica Gore Metal.
You just need to release a song by the end of the month of just drums and distorted
Listen,
harmonica.
I'm moving. I don't have time for this shit right now, but
dude, you
it
got
will
time.
Happen.
Hey, look who showed up. Joe, developer of the game we're giving away, is in the chat.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing, sir, in the chat? You want to just join the show? You can help us pick a winner to give away.
Just add him onto the Skype call.
Yeah, why not? If he wants to join, I'll fucking add him. Now we just have to wait for the delay to catch.
Essentially. Okay, so why don't we read the next one since we have so many.
All right, entry number 3 is from Billy P. He says, the game and its difficulty interest me, but I'm not sure it's worth $8. If I win the code and enjoy the game and think it's worth the price, I'll donate a $10 card for you guys to give away. Ah, so bribery.
Bribery.
Oh, Joe doesn't want to join the show.
I don't think anybody's ever actually tried the bribery route yet.
I know, that's a new one. An interesting tactic. Let's see. Number 4 is from Mike Johns. Mike. Oh, burp. He says, why do I want Gunworld 2? Well, I'm not going to tell you why I want Gunworld 2. Sure, everyone else is telling you why, either making up a funny, wacky reason they want it, being blunt and honest about why they want it for the achievements or because they want to increase their game library, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to specifically shirk your one stated question to acquire the game. Have so much confidence in my non-answer that I fully believe with all my heart I will see a code for this game show up in my email when the time comes. That's why I want Gunworld 2.
Okay.
I like that answer.
It's like it's the anti-answer.
I really do like that answer. It's a shame that we only have 2 codes to give away.
I
unless
know,
Joe
right?
in the chat listening and he's like, you know what, I'll toss him a couple more.
He's going to bed. He said he's going to bed.
Ravine of Gore would make a fantastic video game name too if anyone wants to use it.
It's the prequel to Splatterhouse.
So after Abacus but before Gunworld 4, we'll have Ravine of Gore with the soundtrack by you guys.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Drums and distorted harmonica. All right, next entry is from Ozon. I'm not even going to try that last name. Sorry, Ozon. Says, I noticed you're giving away a copy of the game Gunworld 2. I'm really interested in this game. I love platformers and shooters. It reminds me of a game like Contra. As a student, I don't have the privilege of buying new games. Gunworld has been on my watch list for some time now. It would bring me great pleasure to experience the game as well as all the nostalgia of the 90s. I hope I win. Nostalgia / poor.
Wow.
Hey, you gotta keep track of these.
I understand. I get it. Oh god, Grant's going through when a snowstorm.
Grant's dying again. Seriously, what the hell is that, Grant?
Dude, I don't know. I'm like looking at my Skype microphone levels and all of a sudden I will say nothing and it will just like peak.
It just goes off.
I don't know what that is. I don't know. I got too much shit plugged in.
The demon's taking over your soul.
Apparently.
All right, next email's from Nick Simpson, who says, I love games that try and replicate the old 8-bit aesthetic, and like Shovel Knight, this series seems to hit that sweet spot of the iconic old school look. So I'd love a chance to play the game. And who doesn't love guns in video games? Visuals/guns. Right, we have three more entries to go over. Popular giveaway. Look at that. Yeah. Look at that, Joe. Your giveaway is hella popular. Next one is from Angel Santos, who says, I want the game because I want to see how the devs improve it since Gun World 1. Legit reason. Improvements.
There is a lot.
There is a hell of a lot of improvements.
There's a lot of them.
Next email is from Eric Trill, who says, so you want reasons why I want to copy Gun World 2? Sure, here they go. Number one, the biggest reason are because of the puns. Even if the game is bad, which it isn't because the SML podcast said so, the puns would keep me happy and laughing long enough for me to play through it. Hashtag punny. Number two, I rarely get angry, and if I don't win, I wouldn't want to direct my anger to MO7Games/SuperNESJoe, just like the SML podcast suggested on Twitter. It would be no one's fault except for the SML podcast if I have to direct anger towards an indie dev over something that isn't their own fault. In this case, it would be me not being chosen as a winner. Hashtag save an indie dev from wrongfully directed anger. Number three.
Blackmail.
Number three, the SML podcast said I should send this email to enter to win, and since all I've written up to this point is about how the SML podcast keeps saying things, it would be sad and disappointing if I didn't win. The SML podcast isn't about making people sad or disappointed, so picking me as a winner just makes sense. Hashtag listen to the SML podcast.
That one's called logic.
Number four, I've mentioned a bunch of emotions, and the only positive ones are happiness and laughter. That would only be achieved by me playing the game. The other emotions, anger, sadness, disappointment, would only be achieved by me not winning a copy of Gun World 2. Hashtag all the feels, hashtag only want the good ones. Make the right choice and vote for me. I mean, choose me as one of the winners for Gun World 2. Hashtag only one right choice, hashtag me. Win or lose, I just hope I can make you laugh. Thanks for the opportunity, Eric. Logic. Seriously, just out-logic dumb. Which, to be fair, isn't hard to do.
Well, it's not a matter of logic. It's just...
I thought you were
okay,
going to...
Okay, I guess.
I didn't realize there were five different points in the single email. I don't know what this was like. This is like a politician. This is the election year email.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Joe said we got so many entries because no one wants to buy the game. Now I feel bad. Oh, final email is from Tanner Tate, who took a bullet for us last week and reviewed Grand Prix Rockin' Racing. Says, hopefully I'm not too late for this one. You're not. Basically, I want Gun World 2 mainly because I feel bad for the developer. I follow him on Twitter, and I saw him talking about the lackluster sales and such, probably because of Gun World 1, how he might not be able to make his next game. I want this game to try and help this developer by getting hands-on experience so I can advise people to pick up the game so he can continue to make his games. So he wants to not support the developer, to support the developer.
Yes.
So
yeah, that's a strange curveball.
So curveball. So yeah, we have all of these entries and we have two codes to give away. This is going to be a tough one.
Can you read the titles of these emails again?
Jake is the sadistic one. Cole has the ravine of gore. Billy is trying to bribe us by offering up a gift card if he feels the game is worth it. Can't even read the name I wrote because my pen's dying. Mike? What the fuck is this? I feel like an idiot. Mike Johns. He's the one who didn't give the answer, which I really like that answer. Ozon is nostalgic and poor. Nick Simpson likes the visuals and he likes guns. Angel wants to check out the improvements of the game. Eric is full of logic. And Tanner is the curveball.
I like...
Well, first off, Joe, in our chat, do you have any input on. I think he likes Sadistic and Logic 101.
I have to agree, actually. Those were the one. Those were going to be my picks.
I really do like Mike with his no answer answer. Like he.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was. I thought it was clever.
Yeah, the 1000%er. Someone's yeah. So like the sadistic is. He, you can guarantee he's probably going to finish this game to completion. It sounds like he's really appreciated the past wins. I guess he's had a few.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I want to see.
I think we could all say for sure that Eternal Rage is not getting one. So, hot to you, sitting in our chat. You win every other game out there. Like, you're not winning this one. And even Joe in the chat is like, nope, not her.
Nope.
He says, not Tanner. Boo that one.
boo that one. Boo, Wendy Jessebreaker, boo. Boo, Wendy.
I guess the two that really comes down to is Eric with his logic and the fact that he had such an awesome email with so many valid points.
It was very intricate.
And Jake being the sadistic one who wants to get 1,000 gamer score on it.
I like those two.
Man, I really feel bad about Mike, though.
Is it the Ravine of Gore?
No, that's the one, the non-answer. Eternal Rage in the chat room is the Ravine of Gore.
Oh, gotcha.
Ravine of Gore. I like the other two.
Thetism and Logic. Grant, are you down with those two?
I'm down with those two, with runner-ups, runner-up to the anti-answer.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I like Eternal Rage in the chat room. Next time I'm just playing the women card, you bastards. The only female that enters giveaways, give me your code. Hey, you know the developer of the game we're giving away is in the chat room, so how about you try pulling that on him?
Dear SML Podcast, I deserve to win because boobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who was the one who said that it didn't look like it was worth $8 and they wanted it to
try it for themselves.
I don't know. I just want to say that.
I think Billy was the one who says he doesn't know if it's worth that much, but he wants to see if it was. But if he felt it was worth it, he was going to give us a $10 gift card to give away on the show.
Oh, the bribery. That was the bribery one. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Okay. Moving on.
Like how our chat is now just devolving into emoticons.
I like that. I'm fine with that. That's the way Twitch should be.
I guess so.
Like anytime I go into a Twitch chat, it's half emoticons. So
all right. So Jake and Eric, you are the two winners of our giveaway. Everyone else, you can direct, like I said on Twitter, direct your anger towards Joe from MO7 Games, and then buy the game, you cheap sons of bitches, and support this struggling developer who just wants to make games for us. He's good people.
By himself.
Buy his game.
By himself.
Indeed. One man.
By
one man,
himself.
One dream. In a world.
He did it himself.
In
a gun world.
Gun world.
is that Barney in that screenshot? It looks like he's killing Barney.
It might
be. It's like a lizard dude, but when you shoot him, he flashes. So that was like when he flashes.
Okay.
Or it's Barney.
Or it's Barney.
With black buck teeth. Or it's a guy wearing a mask. Wearing a furry outfit.
Oh my God.
It's possible.
Oh my God.
Any other giveaways that we have?
That was the only giveaway for the week. We do have our email from Rez about Doom, but then we also have a couple of games that we have to review this week, so I'm not sure what you guys want to do next.
Why don't we address the other email, and then we'll do our reviews.
Sounds good. Let me find a good image for Doom to have in the background. Just gonna write Doom and pick like the first stupid image I see. Oh, there's no funny ones. They're all just the game.
No. Get the one where it's like the toot for the doot.
I got one for you.
You know what I'm talking about?
No,
it's like
I
one
don't.
Of the demons in the background, like with a trumpet.
I haven't seen that one.
Here we go.
Yeah, here it is. Hold on.
I have too many windows open. Too many windows. What the fuck? All right, I guess we're going with this one.
Oh, no, that's Toot. I want Doom. There it is. All right.
Are you sharing it in the chat so that I can...
I'm copying it. Hold on.
Oh, Christmas Doom. Yeah, best mod ever. Hell yeah.
Chris Huber is typing. You can't just post a fucking link, can you?
That was the link. Hold on.
It's not working this for way. Me.
Because it just shows the image.
How about that?
It again, just showing the... All right.
That's... Click on it. It has the... It's the hyperlink.
There. We have it. Only took an extra 20 goddamn minutes.
It's worth it.
All right, so anyway, Rez wrote us, Mr. Richard Scott. He says, Doom 2016 review. Oh, God damn it. Let's see.
How many paragraphs?
Not many. It's not that it's long. My God, why am I getting a whole bunch of shit about Skype image not loading? My God, everything's breaking. His review is... Doom, 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 doom. I'm skipping those. P.S. It's really fucking good. Seriously, go buy it right now. I have been getting the same exact rush I felt the first time I played Doom 1 way back in the day. The movement is fast and tight. The weapons all have a good punch to them. The level design is flipping awesome, not the scary corridor fest that Doom 3 was. Not 10 seconds after you start the game, you're already killing a demon. Doom. He has it written 43 times. 40.
Okay. I think we got it covered.
Doom to the 43rd.
So, yeah, Doom.
Dude, it's like my favorite picture ever. It really is. I love it. I wish they would just put that guy in the game. Like you just run, you run up around the corner, and he just goes like, and then just runs away. It would be amazing.
Yeah, it would. It would
make the game that much better.
Yeah, it would. Although I found another image to put up for it.
Dude. Up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you send me that? I'm going to make it my background.
Pretty great.
So do you guys have anything else to say about Doom?
I love this so much. Oh, man, I got like... I haven't played it. I haven't played Doom.
Guys, I really want to talk about Doom. Oh my God, Doom's so amazing.
But,
like,
everyone seems real. Like all the old men that love the old ones seem really happy with the single player, and that's all I care about. You know, I don't care about weird multiplayer variations. I just want like the super fast, kinetic demons and stuff, Keiko all demons right. and.
So can I bring up a game? And I really wanted to. I'm glad that we're talking about Doom because there was a game that came out a couple years ago, I think, year, 2 years, something like that. Rise of the Triad. Rise of the Triad. They did. It was essentially like a reimagining, a re-envisioning of the original Rise of the Triad, in the same type of veins of what they did with this version of Doom. It's still insanely fast. I actually, it was one of the only reviews that I did for Save Continue when we were still on Save Continue.
I remember that site.
But
where are they now?
Yeah, I know. So, but it's insanely fast, and it has the same type of feel as those old, like, original classic shooters. But for whatever reason, like, nobody gave a shit. But now all of a sudden, because, like, Bethesda is starting to do this, and, like, and I think with games with, like, Overwatch, and everybody's starting to get, like, back into, like getting away from the more realistic style shooters and wanting to go back to, the, like, the almost, like, more classic, just fast-paced, just run, shoot, run, shoot, run, shoot. I'm kind of upset that people don't give Rise of the Triad a chance, because it's fucking awesome. Like, it's really, really good.
Isn't it just multiplayer?
No. There's a huge, full single-player campaign.
I didn't even know that. I actually ignored it, because I don't really do multiplayer shooters. I thought all the footage I ever saw of that game was multiplayer.
Well, because, I mean, even... like, nobody really wants to watch somebody else play the campaign, because you want to do it yourself.
That's true. I love Rise of the Triad. Like, they had trampolines in the Dune universe.
Listen, I'm telling you, you play the new Rise of the Triad, and it might actually be faster than what Doom is.
Yeah, I saw the gameplay look super tight. I just thought it was a multiplayer game.
Very fast.
I didn't realize they had a campaign. That's cool.
Dude, I got stuck on the campaign. I couldn't progress any further. That's how hot, like, that's how much of a traditional old school shooter it is. You get stuck. Like,
damn.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I need to go back and look at that, because I was just, it's such a weird property, because I don't think anyone under 30 would know what that is. Like, I wouldn't expect that to be, that wasn't, you know, it was like Hex and Heretic, Quake, Doom. No one remembers Rise of the Triad.
Well, Rise of the Triad was the one that I got introduced to at first.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
So that's the only reason why I knew what it was, because I remember specifically, that was the only review that I ever did for Save Continue, and it's because I got so excited that they were putting out another game, I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Like,
that's cool.
And I played it, and I was just like, whoa, my, like, that was when I realized, like, wow, if somebody started taking the older style shooters and the real fast-paced stuff and started modernizing it and making it really pretty and nice, like, dude, this could start taking off. And then sure as shit, like, everybody started going back to, like, oh, well, now with this Doom. And I really think Overwatch is very fast-paced, like, faster-paced than a lot of the other shooters that I've been playing recently.
How did I know you were going to find a way to steer the discussion to Overwatch?
It's the most recent game that I have a comparative basis to make. You know what I mean?
Do you, Joe, do you care about Doom at all?
I do want to play the new one. I haven't had time to sit down and actually do it yet, because I've been playing way too much shit to review.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have it. I do plan on playing it. It is in my system. I will get to it. Don't know when.
Did you play the old one? Did you play any of the old game in the originals?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've talked about this on the show that way back in the day, I struggled with the issue of not having 4 meg of RAM in my computer to run
Doom. Same here.
I only had 2.
Yep. Yeah, we
run
had
Wolf.
We had 2 megs, and we had it was like a 24 megahertz CPU, and I could run Doom really smooth if I made the screen really, really small, which we would do. Otherwise, we would just play it choppy because the stairs looked so cool. But yeah, I don't know. Big history there. And there's a guy doing these Brutal Doom mods. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but like he basically adds all this wild particle effects and additional gore and physics and stuff to like the old Doom engine, and it's just unbelievable. But I think pretty soon here, my brother is a big Doom kid. I think we're going to try to figure out how to load that up and play a co-op online just to play the old campaign again. But every year or two, I just fall back into Doom mode, and this has helped. And I guess, you know, and to your point, Chris, I think like you got Doom, which is a bigger franchise than Rise of the Triad, and B, sure, it was Bethesda. So it makes sense why we get attention. It just sucks. And I feel that way about so many games, too, where just the better version of a type of game didn't get the attention because it was a small dev and a no-name.
Yeah. Dude, and I'm telling you, like, I was so surprised at the fact that I was able to sit down with a shooter and get stuck. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's very rare nowadays because everybody likes to hold your hand. Like, it was so refreshing to be able to sit down and be like, fuck, man, I have to redo this level again. Like, like I love that feeling because you just don't get it nowadays anymore. So
no.
True.
Nope.
Oh, man. Anyway, got to move into the reviews now. Grant, are you going to stick around for these? You want to listen to some game reviews?
Yeah, I'll hang out, and I'm definitely interested in if you're getting into the pinball arcade.
Oh, we will. Too. I figure I would save the pinball ones for last so that you could talk about your pinball arcade visitings and get like that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your give me your thoughts.
My thoughts.
Lay it on me.
My thoughts. First game to talk about though is called Cubicolor. Developed by Fractal Box, published by Moving Player. It releases May 20th, so this Friday, for $7.99 on the Xbox One. A couple of months ago, we talked about a game called Cuba on here, which is basically a cube-rolling puzzle game. And a lot of people actually thought these games were related when this one first came out. You are basically a cube with different colors on the sides, and you have to roll the cube to land on the keys to basically hit the exit of the level. You have to touch all the keys, but the colors are where things get interesting, because if you land on a colored block with the color that it is facing down, the platform will raise up. If you land on it with any other color, it goes down. And on multi-tiered levels, you basically have to figure out how to position your cube perfectly so that you could go up, move to an area, you know, either move to the next platform that'll take you up or down. It gets very difficult very quickly, but it is definitely enjoyable. But it just I was honestly shocked with how difficult the game got.
And you're like Mr. Puzzle Guy.
Oh, I know. This like, one, it just, my mind, I was just having such a hard time wrapping around. Like, if I rolled this way, this way, this way, this way, the colors aren't lined up exactly how I want them. So I have to restart the stage, and let me try rolling this way, this way, this way, this way. Okay, those two are right, but then this other one isn't. It's, if you are a fan of Rubik's Cubes, you are going to blow a nut over this game.
I can only imagine.
It's just a lot of planning, a lot of trial and error.
Didn't you say it was kind of almost more like it gave you a little bit of a feel of like Lights Out? When we were talking about it.
I don't know if I talked to you about that.
Yeah, we did. Like, just like briefly.
I don't know. I don't even remember Lights Out. What the? I'm getting old.
Grant, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's all right, I'm gonna try.
What the hell was that answer?
No.
You asked him mid-orgasm.
It was like an electronic. It was an electronic game where it was like you hit one of the lights and it turns the lights off next to it.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah,
is that a Wii game?
No, it was this little, hold on, I'm going to try and see if I can find, like,
probably on the DS somewhere.
No, it was just a little, like...
No, I'm saying a version of it is probably on the DS somewhere.
Oh, sure, yeah. Like, here's one of the versions that I had. Wow, you could barely see the lights because of how shitty this thing was. Oh, God.
I don't know if I would specifically kind of compare this one to Lights Out. I could kind of see where you might get an impression of that, but I don't know, just this game is, if you are sadistically looking for a challenge, Jake would probably like this one.
Okay, oh my God, screw that, dude.
If this is going to be a game where people are going to spend the $8, wait for a guide, and then get an easy 1,000.
Sure.
Just by following a step-by-step guide. I'm going to give it a try it just because the difficulty might scare some people away. But if you're into puzzle games, it's nearly a must have, especially at only $8.
It seems like the difficult puzzle game thing is kind of coming back.
Yeah.
Like the some sausage game, you know what I'm talking about? Some John's Sausage Roller 5000 or something, right? Maybe? Anyone?
What? I gotta find this.
Some sausage puzzle game. Like, it got all this big press on all the sites, and they got, you know, props from, what's his name? Witness guy. Braid guy.
Jonathan Blow?
But yeah, Jonathan Blow was talking about how brilliant it was, and sausage puzzle game. It's called Steven's Sausage Roll.
I haven't heard of it.
I'm posting
Steven's Sausage Roll.
I have not played it, but I hear it is just unreasonably difficult, and I'm putting it in the, and I got a deleted link from Twitch. Twitch is going to ban me.
Oh God, I forget how you mod people. Let me see if mods. Okay, I think you're a mod now, so you should be able to post links. Yay, there you go.
There you go.
I got you. I got you, baby.
Thanks,
man. All right, anyway, next game to talk about is called Mimic Arena. It is developed and published by Tiny Horse Games. Releases May 18th for $7.99. It is, the best way I could describe this is a mix between like Smash Brothers and N Plus.
It's sometimes it's very hard to keep track of.
Oh yeah, with dashes of Extreme Exorcist. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Basically, it is a local multiplayer brawler, beat 'em up kind of game. When you die, you get a clone that follows exactly what you did the last time that you... So it can kill guys for you, or it can be killed and get the opponent points. There are three different modes in the game. One is a death match where basically you just fight it out. Winner gets 20 points. Chris and I had a couple of really, really good games. We
had one that we were legitimately tied on.
We were 19-19 when time ran out. And it just went until Chris ended up getting the final point. There is an infiltration mode where you have to get to your opponent's goal.
That one was cool.
But you don't score when you get to the goal. You rewind, and your clone follows the exact same path that you just ran. And if your clone gets to the goal, then you get a point. So it comes down to wanting to not only get to your opponent's goal quickly so that, you know, your opponent doesn't have much of an opportunity to stop him from getting there, but you also have to decide if you want to try protecting your clone or if you want to try defending your goal against the opponent.
Or making another clone.
Yeah. Unfortunately, go ahead, Grant.
Sorry, man. What happens when you kill a clone? So, like, Chris has made a clone and he is sending his clone out to score. Do you just kill it and he has to start over again?
Yeah. If you kill the clone, they basically have to start over from...
It's cool.
Game mode, yes.
Is it floaty, like floaty physics, like N Plus, or is it a little more like heavy gravity?
It's very floaty. Plus, it has a double jump, so it is. They have the wall jumping, the double jumping. The visuals remind me a lot of a brighter, more colorful N Plus. And then Loot Interactive is in the chat. What is up, Mr. Sterling? How are you doing? Thank you for joining us on live episode, kind of. Unless you're listening over the weekend, then we're not live.
Basically.
There's also a third mode in the game where it follows the same deathmatch style rules, but when you die, the clones that are made can hit anybody. So
it's a survival thing, so you're just trying to stay
not
alive
die.
Longer than anybody else.
It's not about gaining points, it's about not losing points. So that one, after a bunch of deaths, that one just got insanely hectic.
That one was insanely hard to follow after a few. Yeah, because it's like every single clone of every kill it now becomes a you know, something that you have to run away from. And it just fills the entire screen with nonsense.
I wish I had more local friends so I could get a good four-player match with this going on. I really wish Ashley would have joined us to play, but she hated the game.
There, it was very difficult to kind of tell. Like, it took me a bit to realize what power-ups were what, because there's different power-ups that make you shoot different, like, items and weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of them I really didn't enjoy, but whatever one that you kept using was just like...
Oh, the explosive shot.
Oh, it was broken. Oh, it was so good. But I think the shield has like a lot of, there's like this almost a Captain America-esque shield that you just like throw out and then
it deflects bullets. And
But you to deflect like bullets and stuff. Yeah. That one has like a lot of potential and it's fun, but it's very difficult to control. So, but there's a lot of different weapons and it's cool. I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely a good party game.
If you have friends to play this with, I think it's a buy it, especially for only $8.
Yeah, that's a good party game for $8.
If you don't have friends to play this, don't get it because it is literally a 2-4 player only game. So if you're playing it by yourself, which I'm sure Shiz Black is going to do just to get achievements.
Also, let's iterate 2-4 people local.
Yes. No online, local only. So it is a couch party game where after you win the game, your friends will most likely beat the shit out of you.
Or at least resent you for a couple hours.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe. Something like that.
So yeah.
I would say buy it if you have friends.
Yeah. If. You losers.
Basically.
Next game to talk about is called Shadwen, developed and published by Frozen Byte. Those are the Trine guys. It released May 17th on PlayStation 4 and on Steam. It has a launch discount on both. I don't recall the PlayStation 4 price on Steam. The launch price is, I believe, $14.55 or $14.44, something weird like that. This is a game that it started off, I think the initial price was going to be like $30, and the more people tweeted and shared the game, the price just got lower and lower and lower. Which I thought was a really, really cool campaign on trying to get attention on the game and get some eyes on it and to give people a good price on the game. And now the normal price of the game is going to be $16.99 after the launch discounts. It is a third person stealth game. You start the game off as a little girl who needs to get back to home or wherever you're going. You get to the end of the stage and you find some apples. A guard finds you, and then it switches characters where you end up building a grappling hook and learning the more assassin-like controls of the game, because the main character in the game is an assassin that you control. And it comes down to basically 15 stages of get from the beginning to the ending, and how you get there is up to you, whether you want to just stealth through it and leave all the guards alive, or if you want to kill all the guards. There's actually all the trophies in the game. There's trophies for beating the game, or beating the stage by killing everyone, beating the stage not killing anybody. There's fun trophies like kill everyone in the game except the final guy. Kill nobody in the game except the final guy. on top of being stealth, like, this is pure stealth. If a guard notices you, you lose. To make it easier, there's time controls in the game. If you get spotted, hit L1 and you rewind time. So it's kind of like Braid, where you could just, anytime you make a mistake, just hold L1 and rewind. It kind of makes it easier in a sense. But the difficulty of the AI is still enough where you have to plan ahead. So you can't just, you know, fuck up, rewind, fuck up, rewind, fuck up. I mean, you can, but you're not going to learn anything. It's all about knowing exactly how you, like, planning ahead what you want to do and managing to pull it off perfectly. If that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Kind
Sounds
of.
Cool. Sounds like a, is it a, is pretty as Trine? Because Trine is freaking gorgeous.
It's very dark. Which,
like,
it's
like
a game
brightness
of,
or like content?
Right. Well, kind of both. Because you are murdering people if you go that route. But just the brightness of the game. It's, you know, there's a lot of shadows in the game. It's a very dark game. I've been playing it on my computer monitor, which isn't the brightest thing in the world, so I'm sure that didn't help matters. But, you know, we only have one TV, so...
Yeah.
Thank God for remote play on my PC, which is fucking awesome. In addition to the whole rewinding time thing, time also only moves when you move. Very much
oh,
like
God,
super
it's
hot.
Like, it's like super
oh, that
hot.
Changes, that changes everything. Holy crap. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all about, like, you could use a grappling hook to pull some blocks and just move just enough to start pulling them, cut the rope, and start walking before they even fall so that they could land on someone or distract someone so you could sneak around behind them. It's a really, really cool method of how they handled the game with the stealth. I really dig the game. I hope it ends up coming to Xbox One, but I don't know if they will. I've also been hopefully setting up an interview with the guys at Frozenbyte, but we'll see if that happens or not. I'm giving the game a buy. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of replayability in trying to make it through the game either by killing everyone or by killing no one. Or mixing and matching, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's going to be the longest game in the world, but it does have 15 stages. The stages themselves seem to be pretty large. A lot of room for... I don't want to say exploring, but because it's not like there's hidden secrets in the game, but just treating it like a playground and kind of doing things how you want it to be done. There are some negatives. I think the AI has moments where it's just straight up stupid. Like the girl that you're escorting, I think it's a lot like Ellie in The Last of Us, where I don't think she matters.
Okay.
Like, I've already had her blatantly walk through a group of guards, and they've done nothing.
That's weird.
I that could also be considered a plus, because a lot like The Last of Us, like Ellie, everyone ignores her, because if she was the reason you kept losing over and over and over and over and over, people would be fucking furious.
Yeah.
So I can understand why they did that, but... it's like a good and a bad thing. I can understand it, and I like it, but it still seems weird that she could just walk in front of these people, and it's like she doesn't exist. Maybe she's been dead the whole time. Who knows?
Jeez.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Sounds fun. I'll play it.
What else is there, Joe?
Next game to talk about is called Overfall, developed and published by Paragames. It released March 1st on Steam Early Access for $9.99. The full release is supposed to be this week. There's a chance that could always get bumped. As of right now, I don't believe it's in full release. That could easily change in the next day or two. If it's not this week, I'm sure it'll be very soon. This is an open-ish world, a roguelike strategy battle. there are just so many genres to this game. Basically, you start off, you pick two characters. There's a limited number at first. You pick two characters, you show up and go through this portal, and like the king is rebuilding his army, and go.
That's figure it out.
Pretty much. Like, I'm still kind of in the dark on this story. I think I've put about 10 hours into this game, And even the developers were like, you could probably complete the game in like 30 hours, but I'd say a good 6 to 8 to confidently review it. So I put about 10 in so far. I am fucking loving this game. It's a PC game, and I keep going back to it. So that alone is weird.
What do you do?
You,
is it an action RPG-ish thing?
No. Basically, the game is you start in a boat, and then you can just sail around, go to different islands. The different islands have different quests that you could partake in. Most of them are basically go kill this guy, finish the quest, or, you know, go to this island, kill someone, finish the quest. It's basically very point A to point B, but it's open to where you could go wherever you want to go. There are a handful of different factions like humans, dwarves, elves, like some kind of undead, forsaken, warlocky things, whatever they are. They're forsaken. I just don't know how to describe them. And the more that you build relations with them, you can gain better end game quests to basically complete storylines for them and unlock new characters that you could start the game with. You could unlock different weapons and starting abilities. The actual battles are all grid-based, turn-based strategy. You have anywhere from 2 to 4 characters that you personally control. You pick where you want to go. You have a moving phase. You have an effects phase where you can like cast spells or like a buff or a debuff, stuff like that. And then you have an attack phase. Each character basically 1, 2, 3, do that, you're done. And you go until whoever wins. As you play through it, the two people you start with, you could eventually recruit a third and then a fourth. If someone dies, you can have the option to recruit someone new. Eventually, depending on how well you're doing, you might end up running out of people to recruit. My current game, I think I'm on day like 100 or something. And I think I have only 3 left if they keep dying out of, I think, 8 I started with.
Wow.
It's, you know, sometimes you just get into a situation where everyone gangs up on the one character and you just get fucked. And it's permadeath. When a character dies, they're dead.
Mm.
And it is very much, you are not meant to start up the game and beat it in your first try. It's very much a roguelike in that you need to die to get new abilities and new characters to start again. And just get further and further each time around. It is incredibly addictive. The visuals are gorgeous. I am in love with this game, and it is a Steam game, and that's not something you'll hear me say often. For $10,
yeah, that's true. I know that you're not a fan of the PC.
And even bigger is that there is no controller controls in the game. It is all mouse and keyboard.
Wow. Oh, my.
You can basically do everything with the mouse, but every now and then I'll use the keyboard to, like, hit the E button to skip a phase or hit the F1 to see. I'm playing a game with a mouse. It is weird.
I'm proud of you.
That alone.
Joe's all grown up.
I know
that,
right?
Alone should say how much I am enjoying this game.
Yeah, that's definitely telling.
The fact that it's only $10 makes this beyond a buy it.
Cool. Like
it is hyper buy it or what? I don't know. I don't know if the price is going to go up when it hits full release. Even if it goes up to $15 or $20, I still think it's a buy it.
Can I just say how much I don't like the name of this game?
Overfall?
Overfall? It's like every other name in the last 2 years for any game. For like, you know?
You have a point.
Firefall? Overfall? I don't know. I'm just saying. Don't like
Underrise?
Underrise. Yeah, Underrise is a really good strategy.
How about Tower Fight? Building.
Tower Fall.
Tower Fall.
Tower Rise.
Name aside, I think the game is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, so it looks really cool.
You won't hear me say that much about Steam.
Yeah, cool. No, I think this might be the first time that you've ever been, like, actually excited about one.
I've enjoyed Steam games in the past, but not often am I like, motherfucker, you need this Steam game.
Damn.
So, yeah, damn. An easy buy it for that one. Final game to talk about this week is the one Grant is going to be excited about.
Ooh.
Pinball Arcade Season 3. We are going to talk about the other five tables in Season 3. Again, is developed and published by Farsight Studios. Single tables are $5 each, $8 if you get the pro version. The full season of all 10 tables is $29.99, or the pro season is $39.99. Last week, we went over the first five tables in the season. We gave three of the tables a thumbs up, one kind of a eh, and then one was a nah. This week, it is pretty much all good. The first table to talk about is called Junkyard. I'm basically just going to go off my notes here. Really fun table. Felt like a redneck crash course kind of game, shooting into toilets and vans. One of the mini games has you shooting toast at a dog. It feels like something out of a Zen table.
What?
Yeah, and this is
This is a real table?
A real table from 1996. The table itself feels very wide open, with all the ramps and everything else being around the outside. At the top middle, there's actually a wrecking ball that you can hit that's just hanging in the middle, which is really cool. If you're watching us on Twitch right now, you could see an image of the pinball table of, like, the cars in the back, and you just hit a wrecking ball just hanging in the middle. Always fun to smack around. The outlanes, every now and then, I'm not sure what triggers it. Like, if you light up all four of the lanes, it might get it. You can recycle the ball, which if it goes down that lane, you just get to shoot over, which is cool. Overall, it is a funny, fun, and solid table. Very enjoyable. Definitely worth checking out. So good stuff there.
That's a cool table.
Next table is called Lights, Camera, Action. This one is from 1989. It's a cool table. It has a lot of crazy artwork on it. Super 80s feeling. Like, it's from 89, and you can tell it's from the 80s. The music is straight out of the 80s. Just 80s electronic pinball music. Just... You guys know. Grant, you're a Tehran guy. You know what's up.
I do.
Shooting the ball when you start off, it gives you, like, a quick draw minigame on the backboard of the table, which is kind of neat. It pans up to the backboard, and it's like, ready, set, draw. And you have to hit the flipper to draw a gun against your opponent.
That's awesome.
Especially for something from the 80s.
Right?
There's a card collecting mechanic that you can earn bonuses if you get a good poker hand. I don't know how it fits into the whole movie, action movie theme, because it's called Lights, Camera, Action, but whatever. The flippers at the bottom seem to be especially far apart, but they slightly make up for it by having, like, one of those pegs in the middle that you see on some tables, where if it goes straight down, it could bounce off. It has saved me a few times, but, like, the flippers still, they're noticeably far apart. Although it does make me wish more tables had that center peg.
I love those.
Overall, it's a cool table. It looks cool. I like the rotating board section in the upper left. I think it's the low point of this week, but even with how good this table is, that's still a good table.
Yeah, it still looks cool. I mean, I have to try some of these, like, before we do the weekly ones.
Well, you always could.
I'm going to have to do that. Silly, I like pinball tables.
The next table is called Diner. It is a ridiculously fun table. Actually, no, the next one is High Roller Casino. I'm going out of order here. What's wrong with me? It's High Roller Casino from 2001. Despite being a newer table, it still has a very old school feeling. It's not, like, super flashy. It's not super over the top. There's still only the two flippers at the bottom. When you start off, it goes up to a roulette wheel. You can end up playing a handful of different casino style games like poker or blackjack. There's a slot machine in it. It's a good, solid, fun table, and it's another one with a peg in the center. Back to back, two of them.
Nice.
Go figure, the oldest table and the newest table both have the center pegs.
I'm a fan. It saves my ass a lot of times.
Yeah, good times. Next one is Diner from 1990.
There you go.
I don't have many notes on this one. Basically, ridiculously fun table, awesome layout to it. It's from the designer of the Taxi pinball table, which is one of my all-time favorite tables. And you can tell. Like, you close your eyes when you're playing this one, and you're like, I'm playing Taxi. Oh, wait, no, it's... Not much to say about this one, except I fucking love this table. I've never played it before. I've never seen it before, and it's fantastic.
Diner is one of my favorites, too. Diner. Fun fact, Ed Boon of Mortal Kombat fame did the programming on Diner and Taxi.
Really?
Yeah, he was a pinball guy back in the day.
Well, tell us more. If you've played some of these, tell us about them.
I've played all the ones that you mentioned, and they're all cool. I mean, like I think the ones in your list this week, this is definitely my favorite though. I would love to. There's no Diner machine near me, but the playing it in person, this is an especially cool one. And I love the fact that in Taxi as well as Diner, there are like, caricatures of popular people of the era. On Taxi, there's like a Marilyn Monroe lookalike, and like I think you pick up Dracula.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe.
It wasn't Santa Creature Claus. From the Black Lagoon in Taxi?
Pinbot was in Taxi.
Pinbot, that's what.
Yeah, you actually pick up Pinbot's like screaming at you, he needs a ride. Anyway, this one has similar caricatures too, and they're all screaming for their food while you play. It's pretty funny.
But you've played the other ones? You played the other three I talked about so far?
Yeah. They're
shit,
great.
You should have said something.
Yeah, I would have just said, I've played that.
I played it, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I played it, it's cool.
I played that one too, it's pretty good.
For me, it's like, I'm not really into the pinball machines that are kind of casino-based or card-based. Like, there's a lot of ones that are like, especially older ones that are about, you know, blackjack and poker and shit like that. That's not really my favorite kind, but that one you mentioned is a pretty good one. But
the High Roller Casino.
Yeah, High Roller Casino. It's a good playing table. But Diner, man, Diner is the jam.
Yeah, I think it's easily my favorite of the week, and it might be my favorite of season three completely. It's just fun to play.
I heard the ones you did last week, but I don't know. Did you just start season three last week, or did you do?
Yeah, last week was the first five tables of season three.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, and then these are the other five tables.
Yeah, there's only 10 per season, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then next week it's going to be season four.
Yep. The first. Cool. We'll talk about the first five or so of season four. We'll see how time goes. There is still one more table this week. This is probably one of people's favorites. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Based on the movie. Awesome. Really awesome table. Great layout and looks. Gorgeous artwork. The Dracula voice could get a little bit irritating, but it's fucking Dracula. What are you? Fun ramps and loops. Has multiple ways to get multi-ball, which can lead to multi-multi-ball. Shit gets crazy.
Did you get the mode where like the little like phantom ball moves across the table?
Yes.
Really slowly?
Yep.
So weird. There's like a magnet under the playfield, and it moves across the wood on the other side of the playfield, dragging this phantom ball from one side to the other, and then you have to hit the ball with your ball.
And then you get multi-ball. That was awesome.
Otherwise it just disappears into the house on the other side.
What? So,
yeah, it's really strange.
That's so weird.
Yeah. That leads me to the other note I have, which I think that ball that is held by the magnet caused this. I have written down, hilariously enough, I had a ball get stuck. And what I love about Pinball Arcade is how it authentically looks for the balls that are lost on the table, like a real pinball table, when a ball gets stuck somewhere. Like, you'll hear it clicking things and checking the ramps and hitting the bumpers automatically to try and shake the ball loose. It did its checks, and after the third system check, two balls came flying out. Where the fuck did the other ball come from? Who was playing my game before me? And I had that written down before I saw that multi-ball with the one hovering out. So I think my ball got stuck on the other ball held by the magnet. And when it did the system checks, it released the one held by the magnet and both of them came out.
That's probably what happened.
Which
that's
is
so weird.
Hilarious that that shit is replicated in these games.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's just fantastic. Do you have any notes on Dracula yourself?
It's really, really fun. It's really hard. I don't know what it is about this one. And I don't know if it, even as much in the game version, but in the real life version, for whatever reason, it's just incredibly fast. And there are all these posts up there, and you routinely shoot for one of those ramps and it'll hit a post instead and then shoot straight down the center. And unlike the other ones, you know, there's no post in the middle of the flippers on this one.
Yep,
so
no
it's just,
peg.
It's brutal.
It's fun though. My final notes is overall, the season is packed with awesome tables. Only one I didn't like that much. Two that were good, but so overall. And the rest were all solid to fantastic. Fuck yes, Diner. Easily worth picking up the full season and getting the whole set. For $30, getting those 10 tables is just a no-brainer, really.
Yeah. It's a good package.
I do miss the first season and the second season of Pinball Arcade when you would get, like, two tables for $5. But I think a lot of that comes down to those were tables that they had already licensed for their previous titles. They were able to release them for cheaper, where now they're licensing new tables, and it's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, it's whole lot. They'll run the occasional Kickstarter for some of the big ones, and I think the last one I guess was Adam's Family, and in the video for the Kickstarter, they talk about all the different estates they owe money to handle the music and the likenesses on the back glass and the brand.
Yeah,
for Adam's Family, and it's because they have real photos on the back glass of that game, and man, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, Adam's stuff. Family is the fifth table of season 4, so we should be covering it next week. A big shout out to the guys at Farsight that hooked us up with the codes to check out all these tables. They actually sent me a code for the Kickstarter version of the Adam's Family table.
Oh, cool.
Nice. The one, I don't know if it was a special tier, but one of the rewards was to get the gold version of the Addams Family table. Apparently, there were only a limited number of these made. I want to say 100. I'm probably getting the info wrong. But it was just the Addams Family table with gold trim, gold designs, like gold flippers. And as a Kickstarter bonus, they replicated that gold version of the table that you could switch between, and they were awesome enough to hook me up with a code for that table, and I can't wait to check that out, because I have it and you don't.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it.
Such an asshole. I think next week might be the best lineup to talk about, because the first five tables of season 4 are the Party Zone, Earthshaker, which are two just normal tables, and then a triple pack of big license tables, Phantom of the Opera, Starship Troopers, and the Addams Family.
Yeah, it's awesome. Pretty
so amazing. I am excited to continue talking about Pinball Arcade.
Well, did you hear about Farsight's partnership with Stern, the company that still makes a lot of new tables?
No, what about it?
So they have partnered. So Stern puts out. There are several pinball manufacturers now, but Stern is the one that's been around forever.
Yeah.
And like they've put out more recently, like they put out like AC/DC and Metallica, and they put out more recently Game of Thrones, and they just released a Ghostbusters table. But they partnered with Farsight. Farsight is building a new app, building a new physics engine, and they've partnered with Stern to release modern tables. Like new ones. So because AC/DC was just in 2012 or 11 or something, and the first table they're releasing is the modern AC/DC table, and they just did a Kickstarter for that, and it closed super quick. And so I think that's like third quarter this year. There's going to be it's like Pinball Arcade presented by Stern or something like that. And it's like a whole different app.
That is awesome.
Crazy.
It's cool because, those are the machines that you're most likely to see out, you know, in the wild at bars. So hopefully that gets people into it and they can play the real machines when they're out. Because some of these old tables, you just can't find them.
Yeah.
Unless you go to like the Hall of Fame or
go to MagFest. Right.
Places that are specifically designed to go and play some of these older tables.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I got to play some strange ones last weekend. They had a whole classics room, which were ones from like the 40s to the 60s.
Tell us about it. We still have time. we've only been going 2 hours. Fuck it.
Oh no. We got another hour and a half. What are you talking about? No, they had about 300 machines or so. And the funny thing about, because you mentioned something last week joking about how these always work or something. I can't remember what you said, but that these always, you know, they're not breaking down because they're mechanical machines. And it's so funny because you walk the line of machines and, you know, every third one will be off. Because something happened and someone left a note, right? And then you walk, a couple hours later, you walk by, those are all on, and every other third one is off, you know, because something else broke. Like, it's just, they're finicky to keep up, and you have to...
That's one of the downfalls of real pinball tables is just the maintenance and the upkeep of actual moving parts. And with how few tables are being made anymore, there's less and less people who know how to properly maintain them. And it's a shame.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's true. Yeah, if you think about it, I mean, you're slamming a steel ball against parts. That's all you're doing.
Those balls aren't light.
No, they're not. It was a really good show. They had some rarities there. They had some newer machines and some kind of works in progress. This guy had built an Archer machine.
Oh my god!
Based on the cartoon. And it had an LCD screen in the back that had footage from the show, and it was a fully built playfield, played great. It didn't have any art on the playfield. They had just built like a white wood version of it, so you could just play it. But the pinball spirit is alive right now. It's kind of interesting. It seems to be getting more and more popular again, which is great. You know, that's how it gives people reason to keep these machines alive because they're not making any more junkyards.
True.
You know?
What are your thoughts between stuff like Pinball Arcade and Pinball FX and Zen Pinball?
I really enjoy Pinball FX, but the physics are just strange compared to... It's only what you're used to, I guess. It's just there's this lack of bounce in Pinball FX that Pinball Arcade seems to have a little better. And Pinball Arcade is not perfect. There are other ones out there that are actually a little better physics-wise, but the FX tables just have this... The ball just funks against everything. It doesn't really bounce around like I would expect it to, which can be kind of strange.
Yeah. There was something I couldn't put my finger on whenever I played those tables that I just didn't like them for some reason. And I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel... It's all about physics, I guess, right? So if they don't nail the physics or nail what you're expecting, then it's going to be a little weird. But man, they just... The polish on their tables and the production values are just...
Oh, unbelievable. Bar none. They look great. They look fantastic. But playability for me, I like to play the Pinball Arcade ones more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think me too. The new ones they put out, like the Alien package, was really good. I bought that. The Alien tables are great. I love Alien. So
yeah, that was an awesome pack. That I think that's the beauty is that Pinball Arcade gives us all these tables that we know and love and might not be able to find anymore. Where Pinball FX is giving us stuff that you just can't do in the real world.
No.
Right.
And I think it's beautiful that they both can coexist.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I guess they're doing well with it. I don't know how well digital pinball does, but, you know, Zen is making... They did a whole pack where they had, like, what was it? Family Guy and Archer and...
Yeah, the Balls
Dad.
Of Steel pack.
Yeah.
Like, and Bob's Burgers.
Legit licenses, you know, like those are big, big deal licenses and they're making quality stuff. So good on them. Like,
yeah. They just did another Star Wars pack recently. I think they have an entire season of Star Wars tables available right now.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. So yeah. I think it's awesome. I hope they both continue to coexist and bring it on. The more pinball, the better.
Yeah, it's cool that you like them. I knew you liked them before when you talked about it, but it seems like you'll every once in a while you run into a dude that, you know, I don't think people play Pinball FX and Pinball Arcade super casually. Normally, it's someone who just owns it all because they just it's like they're craving it. Like there's a certain way those games play.
That's exactly how I have every single table in Pinball FX, and as of now, I currently own all five seasons of Pinball Arcade on the Xbox One. I owned, I think, the first two seasons on PS3, PS4, Vita. I owned whatever was available on the Xbox 360. And I honestly, I didn't even know that seasons 3, 4, and 5 were available on the Xbox One. I had seasons 1 and 2. And when I was talking with the guys from Farsight, because we covered their bowling game, Brunswick Pro Bowling, a couple of months ago, I ended up chatting with him, and he sent me the other three seasons for Pinball Arcade, and I had no idea that many were available. I can't wait until the rest of Season 5 comes out on Xbox, because there looks like there's some awesome tables coming up.
And yeah, there's some good ones. There's some good ones on there. I guess they do the PC first, right? And then they kind of roll them out to the other platforms. Yeah. Is that how that worked? Yeah. But that's a good. There's a good lot there in the last batch. I totally forgot to tell you something about Diner. This is important. So, you know, I moved out west, right? So, but when I was East Coast, I had several buddies that were into pinball, and a friend of mine had bought it. He bought a Diner. He had an actual Diner machine.
Ooh.
And it was in real. It was in pretty good shape, but he kind of fixed up parts that were messed up and put good lights in it and everything, and turned around and sold it. And he got a call. And someone wanted the table, but they wanted it shipped. They wanted it shipped out to like LA or wherever, somewhere out west, which was kind of a surprise because it's not cheap to ship one of these giant machines. And it was Farsight. Farsight bought his Diner. So that That Diner is his Diner. He doesn't play video games, but that's his Diner. They ripped his machine apart, digitized everything, and I guess put it back together.
Cool as fuck.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
He had a really good play field specifically, and the play field's always what gets worn first, you know, because the ball's, you know, scraping off the paint after so many years. And I guess that is maybe the reason his cabinet was only okay, but they bought his machine because I guess they thought it was good enough to digitize, so he's proud of that.
That is crazy. That is so cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Yeah, it's really.
That actually reminds me of something that I like about Pinball Arcade that you won't see in a Zen pinball game, is I've already had it in Pinball Arcade where I've hit something and the ball would bounce up and it hit the glass.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like the glass exists in the digital version of the game. It could bounce up and clunk off the glass, just like in a real table. Yeah. And I love how authentic some of these tables can be.
Yep, and I think something with pinball is just there's something about having more of the authenticity over like just the creative aspect of it, like something that's probable, something that you can actually sit, like you said, like you could walk into a bar and you can just find these types of tables, as opposed to the effects ones, like they're just a lot of them, you know, wouldn't be possible because of some of the mechanics that they even put in them.
Yeah,
you
know? I feel like flaming balls, it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. They could probably take it a step further. They could have like multi-screen tables. I want to see them get even crazier and make tables that are physically impossible in size and be able to shoot up between flippers that are at the top of the screen to go to the next table. You know, kind of like Alien Crush did on TurboGrafx.
How about pinball for the NES? Let's just go with that.
Yeah, yes, that works too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fucking put Mario inside a pinball table. You can't do that in real life.
Yeah. Sure, you can. No, you can't do that.
sure you can.
Grant, I have been trying to get Mike from Farsight on the show, and if he ever comes on, I want to get you on that
episode. Oh, sure. Oh, gosh. I would love that.
Because I think that would be fantastic to have you on there to talk with him. If I get a date from him that he's free to come on, I'm going to let you know. I want to set that up. I think that'd be cool as hell.
I'd love to hang out. I don't know a ton, but I know too much already. Super pinball nerd. Here's one more for you. One more piece of little trivia, which I think is amazing. You may know this, but there was a Super Mario Brothers pinball machine.
Yeah. I don't
know if you ever saw. Yeah, so Gottlieb made that. And they had the license all prepped for a Zelda. And at the last minute, Nintendo pulled out. So they redid their art assets. Yeah, they redid their art assets and called it Gladiator. Or Gladiators. So if you look up the Gladiators machine on YouTube, watch some gameplay, that was supposed to be a Zelda.
Fucking knowledge bombs on us.
And there are people that haven't done it yet, but so many people have bought Gladiators with the attempt of retheming them, because retheming is kind of a thing. Trying to make it Zelda table, because that would just be amazing.
That'd be crazy.
I'm trying to look at the table right now and just like see how. Yeah, I mean it's a pretty basic table. So,
yep, it's kind of like I think they made it kind of like a futuristic Gladiators. It's like
a sci-fi space. Yeah, it's like really cheesy. So weird.
Really cheesy. They're like wearing gold.
It's very 80s.
They look like Silverhawks, but they're swinging axes and swords or what.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's some more Nintendo being weird with their properties as usual.
Really? I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
You're silly. You're silly. Anyway, we are definitely over 2 hours now. We should probably wrap this up. Grant, yes. It has been fan-fucking-tastic talking with you again.
Yeah, I missed you guys.
You got to come back more frequently. We miss you.
I know. If you replay, I'll do another theme song, and then you can replace it, and then I'll show up out of nowhere.
I was going to play a bunch of Stemmage music at the end, but I think it'd be funnier to just play more Mega Beardo.
No,
I'm gonna play some good Grant Henry stuff, probably something off a narrow band. Maybe I could bust out my Alpha Squad soundtrack and get some of that on. I don't know. We'll find some good stuff.
There's some good art there somewhere.
You have tons of good music out there, so we'll find like a song or two.
Okay. All right.
Something can't be that bad, right?
I wanted to give you something brand new. I just know the timing's all fucked up, and I couldn't give you a newbie. And you like giving you the new stuff, so I'll send you something.
Well, the episode's not going to go up until like Thursday night, Friday morning. So if you want to email whoever's in charge of what you're working on and be like, "Hey, could I give these guys a first listen?"
That could work. I will let you know. People will know shortly if that worked.
People will get a hold of your people.
If it didn't work out, I'm totally going to edit this entire portion out.
Okay.
Chris knows.
Yeah, so, you're funny.
So, Grant, do you have any final words for our listeners to end the first Pappy-less show in 100 episodes?
I am Pappy. What are you? Is this Pappy?
So Pappy Henry. Pap Henry.
Henry.
Grant Penry.
Smack my loins.